So Andre, welcome in our podcast 3-2-1 podcast. It's great to have you here, to see you and hear you. I have few questions. It's not going to take much time, so don't worry. Andre, let's start with the first one. You run a family agency that's been in business for 50 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes, 50 years.
Yeah, a little bit more than 50 years. First of all, thank you everybody to having me here. It's a pleasure to be part of this podcast. And yes, my family is in this business for more than 50 years. My father started in the end of the 60s. His first deal in this industry was organizing a friendly match in 69 between Peñarol and Flamengo in Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. And at that time, attended in the stadium 120,000 people. It was amazing for the first business, yeah. And after this, he started to move to transfer some players from Uruguay to Brazil.
But at the moment, in the company, there are three of you, right? You, your brother, and your sister.
Yes. My father passed away this last December. And right now we are my brother and my aunt. My aunt Stephanie is the Marcel's daughter.
How do you share responsibilities in the company? Do you have this figure out?
Yeah, we make here we have the contacts and the relations with the players and with the clubs, with the federations, with everybody, both of three Stephanie, my aunt, she stay more in this business of the manager of the careers and dealing with the clubs and with the partners, the agents, the brands, and the other parts, like some services suppliers, like the lawyers and the PRs. Me and my brother, we also do this business, but we also develop new kind of business, like the innovation, talking and searching for sports techs and startups that are changing something in the industry, in the football industry. And also we have a club here in Brazil in the second division called Londrina. We manage this club for 12 years. And before this, we also used to manage another club in the same state of Londrina, in Paraná state, for more 10 years or a little bit more. So we have another things to do beside the manage the careers of the players, but we are very involved in this as well.
So you have a lot of things to do, and I checked your website. On your website, you have such names like Julio Baptista, Zé Roberto, Roberto Carlos, Robinho, and many, many other great Brazilian players. Which of your transfers do you consider as the greatest success of your agency?
Look, it's very difficult to choose one, because like you told, there are big names and huge transfers that we were involved at the time. There are some cases that we used to work during all the career of the player, since the beginning in the youth categories until they finish and their careers. And in some cases, we start to work with the sons of these players that when they stop to playing.
Can you mention the name or of the players and sons?
Diego Lugano, we help with his son right now,
and also, yeah, he was a great player.
And Amoroso as well. We work with his son for a period. Amoroso was our player here in Guarani. We moved him to Italy,
and so it's a sign that you their fathers were satisfied of your work because
yeah.
So it's great. But do you regret any deals you didn't make in the past?
I had some cases to tell you. It was very good cases, like Alex. At the time that we start to work with him, we didn't start with Alex in the youth categories. In the youth divisions, but we started to work with him. He was playing in Parma in Italy, and he is not in a good situation there because the club is not giving opportunity to him to play, to develop his career there. And then we meet them, we meet the family and Alex, and we start to work with him. We make a very good deal with Parma, finishing his contract and getting him free from Parma. And we have some options here in Brazil to bring him. And at that time, we choose transfer him, sign a contract with Cruzeiro, because the coach asked us that Alex will have a very good spot there, and will be part of the plan to the team will play to him. So it really was a very good choice. Alex performed here the last year here in Cruzeiro. He won all the cups and championships that Cruzeiro was disputing, the Brazilian championship, the Brazil's cup, and the local championship, the Campeonato Mineiro, and he go to the Brazilian national team because he was performing very well here in the league. And after this, we show him at that time, Turkish, the Turkish clubs and the football in Turkey was not very, very popular here in Brazil. That is not like today, nowadays. A lot of Brazilian players and a lot of foreign players playing there. The market is very in the beginning for foreign players.
Yeah, so, I know what you mean.
It was very hard to convince him to move for a challenger like this, because looking for the history is a country, a league that don't have a track record to see what's happened in the last seasons with the foreign players, with Brazilian players. But at that time, we had a very great relationship with the coach of Fenerbahce, is Christoph Daum. He just signed a contract there and come to Brazil to ask us to help him to build a strong team. And the first name that we work to see the possibility was Alex. And Alex, he agreed with this. And it was very successful. He moved to Turkey, to Fenerbahce, stayed there for almost 10 years.
Yeah, he played there for a long time. Yeah. But Andre, if we are speaking about players you had in your agency, I have to mention Mario Piekarski.
Ah, yeah, Mario Piekarski.
Do you have any memories connected with him?
Yeah, a lot of memories. What happened at this opportunity? Because Juan, my father, when he started, like I mentioned, his first deal in this industry was not a transfer, but friendly matches organizing. No, so that was a period here in Brazil before the national team signed with Nike, because when he signed, CBF signed with Nike, Nike started to organize all the friendly matches. But before this, we used to organize the friendly matches of the Brazilian national team. And one of these matches we organized against Poland, the national team, here in Brazil. We invite Poland, the match, I think, if I remember correct, it was in Vitória, of a state here.
I think Poland, so, because I read about this game. I even found the price your dad paid for Piekarski, but I can't remember this price now.
What happened there? Piekarski and Novak, they play very well, and at that time we were very involved in a project in Atlético Paranaense here in Brazil. We are building the teams there and selling the players and transfer a lot of players and do a lot of business there with Mario Celso Petralha. That's still he's not the president, but he's very involved with the club and he's still there doing a very, very good job there. We showed to Mario Celso, to the Atlético Paranaense club, some opportunities, the match that we was organizing, and he asked for this if we had a connection, if is able to do the transfer of Piekarski and Novak. And we successful doing this business. We bring them to play here in Atlético Paranaense, and it was amazing because it's very new to bring European players to play in Brazil at that time.
Yeah, it wasn't so obvious at that time. Generally, players from Brazil went to Europe and played in Europe. And Piekarski was, you know, I think the first one and the last Polish player who played in Brazil, I think. But life showed that it was a good decision to him, because he, after that Brazilian story, I think that he went to France, to Bastia, I think so.
Yeah, after here he went to France. And right now he's an agent. We still in contact with him.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very good agent. He has good players who played in Polish national team. He's a very successful agent in Poland. Yeah, very famous one.
We still in contact with him, trying to do some business. But it was very good, very very great moment at this transfer and this period of time.
But you know, we are seeing more and more Europe USA transfer traffic every year. The level rises strongly there. There is no such trend between Europe and Brazil as Piekarski, what we just mentioned. The level, in you know, my opinion, is very high in your league, and the whole world is watching the Brazilian league. Players travel all over the world recently to Asia from Brazil. I think that this is some trend. But is the biggest problem the size of the salary or the poor packaging of the league? I mean, the Brazilian league or where is the, you know, where do you see the problem of the league at the moment? Why players are going from Brazil to Europe to Asia, and there is no traffic to Brazil?
Yeah, the first difference, the first problem is our currency right now is not so strong. So a salary in Europe or Asia or in North America, US, they are much higher than we have the capacity to pay here. The teams, the clubs can pay to the players here in Brazil. There are some clubs here, the big clubs, they have more facility and to make money with the fans. They have more revenues, so they are able to pay more good salaries. But when you compare the big clubs in Brazil with the big clubs in Europe or in Asia or in US, we can't compete with the size of the money and the size of the package, no? And the other point, the other very important point is all the players that start to play here in Brazil, the dreams of them when they are young, they are kids, they have two dreams. Play in the national team and play in Europe in a very competitive league. Of course, they have a dream, an intermediary dream, to play in a great and a good club here in Brazil. But the final destination always is a big club in Europe. Always is play the Champions League. Because the Champions League is the more powerful and competitive league in the world. We it's different to a player playing here the Copa Libertadores da América, that is our Champions League, that play the Champions League. Yeah. They're another level, because the big clubs in Europe have capacity to hire the best names all over the world and make the strongest team. So in terms of competition, of challenge, of performance, they want to be in the most powerful leagues. So the difference of the prices of the salaries and the difference of the level of the competitions, that this combination of these two things, that unfortunately we lost a lot of very good and young players to go abroad. But
yeah, but
right now we are in a good moment here in Brazil. Because there is a new law that was approved in the end of the last year to make the clubs transform themselves in companies. The SAF, here call it the SAF, is...
So the clubs now can be open for investors? Yeah, this is
They can be open for investors, and they don't have limit to sell the majority. They can sell 90% of the equity of the club. So there is a lot of movement in this industry here. The clubs are preparing themselves in the politics challenges and getting prepared to receive these approaches.
And I read an article that Ronaldo is going to buy one club in Brazil, right?
Yeah, Ronaldo in December, he just signed a first document to buy Cruzeiro, a club that he played here. It's a very good club, very big team. Is the last years was not so good in terms of management, have a lot of debt, and Ronaldo approached them and sign the first documents with the intent to buy 90% of the club. The deal right now is under construction. They are with a lot of meetings, discussing the next contracts, but it was the first movement. And the other big deal here in Brazil was John Textor, an American investor, that bought Botafogo, which also was huge. And there are some other clubs talking with some Vasco da Gama is a very big team here as well, and signed to sell 70% of his shares to an American company called 777.
Okay, but Andre, if the money comes from investors, where do you see the space to develop?
So when the investors come making these huge investments, they will change dramatically, complete all the manage of the clubs. They will hire professional people from other industries to take care of about the finances, the marketing, the strategy, and they will invest a lot of money in the youth categories as well to try. The challenge here is try to don't sell a lot of players very young in the beginning. They will try to have the strong professional teams and to keep the players playing for a long period
in Brazil.
In Brazil. But the other very important thing that happens here is the beginning of some union, some cooperation with all the clubs to formate the professional league. Because right now the Brazilian championship is not a league, it's not a professional league. It's a championship organized by CBF, by the Brazilian Federation. And the clubs now are in a very good moment to think together to found a league that they will be the owners of this league.
Do you think it's possible? Because I'm thinking about Polish people and Polish clubs, and probably Polish clubs would fight against each other and couldn't find the solution.
This is the challenge. But there are a lot of groups here, investment banks and other leagues from other countries, like La Liga. Yep. Last week make a very good presentation here for the clubs, telling that they have a lot of investors that if the Brazilian clubs organize themselves with this product, they are a lot of groups already have the check ready to invest in this.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So if this happens this year or in the next year, I think we have with all the some clubs, some important clubs also transform themselves in companies. I think we have a very good combination to get a best place to keep more time the players playing here.
Yeah. So Andre, to sum up that, so now creating the league in Brazil is the milestone to make the league better and to bring more money to Brazil and Brazilian clubs.
I think the combination. I think these two things they are in the same moment. They are these two very relevant things is happening in the same moment. So
okay, but creating one league is key to bring investors or no? This law about making companies from clubs is is now already working. It's going to happen anyway, right?
It's going to happen anyway. The clubs are transforming themselves. They are bringing investors, and they are preparing to be very professionals. And after this, of course, the creation of the league with professional clubs, I think this is the explosive combination. You know?
Sure, but go back to you as a management group. How do you get players to represent at that time? Do you have so strong position that they come to you themselves, or do you have to search for players to represent in the youth categories and so on?
Both. There are a lot of players that approach us. There are some other agents that we have very good relationships that approach us with their portfolios to help to asking for our help to open the market or to manage the career together. And also we have some scouts working here and searching for new talents in the youth categories to work in the beginning of their careers.
Andre, we met each other because we are doing something together in the technology. And as a group, you invest a lot of new technologies. The investments are in various ways related to sport. And this is your goal. It's obvious that the internet and technology are changing the world. But where do you see your chances to grow as investors, management group? While keeping, you know, your values that you have been building your company for 15 years, where do you see you in a few years, and how do you think the market will change?
Yeah, we are looking from. I think we start to look for innovation and technology. We start to see these 3 years, 4 years, 3 years ago, and. We are looking for a lot of opportunities that the innovation and the technology could help this industry in terms of performance, in terms of the manager of the clubs, and also in terms of our business, because our business is representing and manage the careers of the players.
Yeah.
We understand that the technology can help the agents and the clubs to make more accuracy decisions. They can use the artificial intelligence, they can use the big data, and they can use all these new technologies that are very easy in the market to search to help them to make the best decisions in terms of hiring the players, searching the players, and also make contacts with other clubs and with the correct agents.
Yeah, you are in good perspective because you can see the world of football from the perspective of agent and club owner. So there are two different perspectives, and you have that, you know, experience.
Yeah, for us, what we are looking is for the new technologies that are gonna change in a relevant way, some verticals in the sports industry. And the transactional vertical that is the deal between the clubs dealing players and hiring and transferring players. This is always managed from a lot of people that a lot of times don't have no relation with the players and with the clubs.
Yeah.
They try to put themselves between the deals, and there are some deals between one club and another club that are maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 agents involved.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you said a good thing that you are, you know, leading players, building relationships and their careers. This is important. You're not only make transactions, but you take care about the players. And I think that this is the key of your agency and of your success. And that's why you are doing this for 50 years and not for 2 or 3 years and made 2 or 3 transactions, but you made hundreds of transactions. But this is my next question that you saw transfer and trades probably your father 50 years ago. You saw it 20 years ago and you are doing transactions today. How do you think it's going to look in a few years? Do you see any space to change something, to maybe develop, to make transfers more efficiency? What do you think?
Yeah, I think this job of the agents, this will never die, you know, because the player also have to talk with somebody of trust. Could be his father, could be a lawyer, could be some family member, or could be a professional agent, you know?
Yeah.
These people that the player trusts will help the player with a professional view of the market and will help him to negotiate better his contracts and his interests. Also, if the company is highly structured, could provide to the client, to the player, another kind of business like lawyers, PR, something to take care of his image in the social media, financial advisor. A lot of complementary business, no?
Yeah, so you take care about players on many levels, not only on the, of course, the sports side of his career is one of the most important, but you take care about him, I mean players, on many levels, as you said, social media, player development path, his career, and you think that this is the main difference, and this is the way how it's going to change in the future, that agents have to start doing it already, and there's going to be place only for agents and agencies like you?
No, I think the other kind of agents that are just doing the broker, not manage the career of the players, but just make the broker, also will have space, but in a way that maybe a club has a very good relation and trustable people, trustable agents that can help the club to hire some player in another country.
Yeah.
Maybe some cases like this will remain occurring. But I think the new technologies could help a lot of clubs to make contact directly. And for some cases that the club that are hiring don't need this assistance of somebody to broke the deal and make contact directly with the other club, they can make the deal direct without this intermediary, because it's more cheaper, maybe it's more easier to them. Each club will decide what is better for them. I think if they save money, is a good step. Saving
yeah,
money.
But it's definitely possible. This is also something what we try to do. But do you think that, because I think that now managers and agents are very related and connected with clubs. Do you think that? I think, but this is my opinion, and I'm asking you also about that, because I think that in the future agents will be more connected with the players and take care more about, you know, the players, let's say maybe the players' investments. They will take care about his future after football, because at the moment, in my opinion, it's like that. A lot of agents, I'm not thinking about you because we know that you are a different agency, that regular, you know, agents, and a lot of agencies we know, they are making transactions and they don't take care about the players. They're only thinking about agent's fee. And this is what they have only, you know, in mind.
Yeah, I think this will disappear. This kind of people who don't have more space I don't know if in a short period, but don't make sense. Somebody just to brokerage the business and charge for some commissions and disappear, you know. I think the agent that managed the career of the player will take care all the things of the player, but will be in contact with all the clubs as well, because he will dealing with the club, he will try to renew the contract, he will talk in the market to see if there another opportunity to transfer the player. But this the intermediary that just brokered the business, this is a phenomenon that's happening in a lot of industries. A lot of industries decentralized in the connections and the relations. No, this will happen here in the football as well. The technology is allowing the industries to make to finish with the intermediaries. No, to make business directly. This is happening and will happen in football as well.
Yeah, it's great that you said that, because it only shows that you are very, you know, open-minded and that you have a great mindset. Because Andre, thank you for this conversation. I hope that you enjoyed, because I really enjoyed.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure, and we are totally open here to make another conversations. And also to invite some other members of our company and some people from our relationship as well.
Perfect. It will be great to